ARPA on the forefront of yet another legal challenge.
If they had said any abortion-related information that is personal or private, for example, the names of the abortionists or the names of the women having these abortions, then of course we would say that's totally reasonable for a government to protect the privacy of those individuals. But when they say, we will not even give you the number of dollars that we spent last year on abortion, that's unreasonable.
We'll have a feature interview on that issue later in the program. As part of the announcement of that lawsuit, ARPA chapters from across Southern Ontario converged on Queen's Park, the Ontario Legislature, last week with another pro-life flag display. We'll talk to the person who organized that. Also, now that there's been some time to analyze the so-called Carter decision on assisted suicide, ARPA has a major action item for you to engage in. And a little something from last week's federal budget that you probably weren't aware of.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA is leading another legal challenge, this time on the issue of the way some provinces refuse to release abortion statistics. Both Ontario and BC have a so-called FIPPA, that's Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, but both of those laws say that when people are filing requests for information, they shouldn't waste their time asking for statistics on the number of abortions done in those provinces. Those numbers are explicitly excluded from the Freedom of Information part of the acts. Pro-life blogger Patricia Maloney launched a lawsuit against the secrecy in Ontario last year, and the Ontario government essentially caved on a one-time basis to her request for some of the statistics, and then argued that because the information was provided, the lawsuit was no longer valid. Now, ARPA and We Need a Law are relaunching the lawsuit. Mike Schutten with We Need a Law says there's nothing unreasonable about asking for those statistics.
How do you achieve justice for people you don't even know exist or are not even registered? You know, in order to develop good public policy, you need proper information. For example, millions and millions of dollars are poured into safe sex programs. We have no idea as to the effectiveness of those programs. We have no idea how many teens are getting pregnant. We have no idea how many women are going back once, twice, three times to their family doctor or gynecologist with complications. So how do you address any of those issues, which we know anecdotally are out there, but we have no clue as to the actual stats as to what's going on?
Later in the program, we'll have a feature interview with ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten and Patricia Maloney, the woman who launched the initial suit. ARPA chapters in Southern Ontario used the occasion of the announcement of that lawsuit at Queen's Park last week to stage another flag display. Nikki Pennings helped to organize the event.
About 6 o'clock in the morning, we had volunteers showing up from all over Southern Ontario. We had the 100,000 flags, so we did that for the first time in Ottawa last October. And then we've been doing smaller displays of 10,000 flags in smaller communities. But we thought, with this many volunteers and the Ontario legislature, where they've been censoring abortion statistics, we said, you know what, we want to show them the full 100,000 flags and that each flag represents one life lost in abortion every year.
Nikki says this display was a bit different from the one in Ottawa last year. Instead of sticking the flags into the lawn at the legislature, they just laid them down.
We asked, we said, can we use your property on this date? And they said, yep, with one provision, you're not allowed to pierce the ground. That's a rule that they have. So we decided to proceed with the flag display by laying them out and thought, you know what? These flags, if laid down intentionally in a pattern, we laid them intentionally down in rows, sort of like a cemetery, saying that this is symbolic of all of the lives that are being lost every year in abortion. And the visual impact was far beyond what we had expected. We were worried that it wasn't going to be as powerful. And we had a lady who walked by during setup. She said to one of the volunteers, I've been here for 20 years, and this is by far the most powerful display I have ever seen.
It's been a few months since the Supreme Court issued the so-called Carter decision, the one that struck down Canada's law against doctor-assisted suicide. ARPA has been busy analyzing that ruling and last week presented a new policy paper on the issue, which makes some suggestions on how Parliament should deal with the ruling. Executive Director Mark Penninga says it's important the government do something because the ruling expressly gave Parliament just a year to act on this. If there's no new law by early next year, we'll end up with the same situation as what happened with the abortion question, where the High Court told Parliament to rewrite the old law, They didn't, and now there's no law at all. As to what a new law should look like, the policy paper suggests it should do everything possible, including, if necessary, the use of the notwithstanding clause to protect the sanctity of life. Benega says, failing that, there should be at least a very detailed look at the whole issue, which would probably take longer than the single year the Supreme Court mandated in its ruling.
If they're unwilling to stand up for human life, then we say the second option would be to use Section 33 of the Charter with the purpose of starting a royal commission, an extensive study that the government conducts. They've done this, for example, with assisted human reproductive technologies, and that gives them time to study the issue in depth before they come up with any policy.
And what if they don't want to do that either? Well, there are some other less preferred options.
If they absolutely insist that they're going to plow ahead and enact a law which allows assisted suicide, then we provide, I think, 12 or 13 different suggestions on things that that law must include to mitigate the evil.
There's an easy mail on this at the ARPA website. The policy paper's also been sent to all MPs in Ottawa. Penning says if you run into your own MP on the spring or summer barbecue circuit, it wouldn't hurt to ask them if they've read that paper and to remind them that this issue is important to you. One more thing from Ottawa. There was a federal budget last week. You probably heard all about it by now. Increases in limits on tax-free savings accounts, more money to fight terrorism, and a promise of more infrastructure funding for municipal governments. But Ray Pennings over at Cardis went digging through the budget, and he found something that you probably weren't aware of, a $37 million expansion to the so-called Compassionate Care Program.
Right now in Canada, if a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis, family members can combine for 6 weeks of employment insurance income support during the last 6 months of life. And we call it compassionate care. Think about it for a moment. Your spouse has been just diagnosed, and we expect that person to die within 6 months. And we are saying as a society, we'll provide you 6 weeks of income support. Over the last year, various groups have been raising this awareness, building on a 2011 parliamentary committee report that highlighted this among a number of other issues and had the support of 58 MPs from all parties. Well, there's good news. This budget will increase the compassionate care from 6 weeks to 6 months. A very welcome and healthy improvement, something that has all party support, and something that speaks to the importance of budgets, not just about jobs, but creating a caring and compassionate society.
There was also a new feature in the budget to help people finance home renovations to help keep disabled relatives in their own houses. Back with more after this.
Please save the date for the National March for Life in Ottawa on Thursday, May 14th. We will be sending more details in the coming weeks, so if you don't already receive our emails, please sign up at arpacanada.ca. We hope to see you in Ottawa for the Reformed Prayer Service and March for Life on Thursday, May 14th.
And we're back on the program. As you heard on the news portion, ARPA is part of a legal challenge of FIPPA regulations in Ontario. That's Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. I have two guests on the feature interview this morning. I've got Patricia Maloney. She's a pro-life blogger based in Ottawa. Hi, Pat. Welcome.
Hi, Al. How are you?
And Andre Schutten. ARPA has agreed to work with Pat on this particular lawsuit. There's some history here, and I'd like to start with that. And, Pat, I'd like to ask you a question first.
Sure.
We first talked about this last July, and you'd launched a court case that was due to go to court in October. You were expecting a ruling sometime around March of this year. What happened to that case, and how is it related to the lawsuit that was announced last week?
Yes, we did have our day in court, Al, and just before we got into court, the government released the document that I was looking for. So then the government argued that because I'd already received the document, my application for judicial review was moot. So that's what happened in October. And they said because it was moot, it wasn't necessary for us to even, you know, go ahead with this. They argued that even if I did win, I wouldn't have obtained any more information than I already had because they'd already given me the document.
So, Andre, what's the fundamental difference between this case and the one that was done last year? How can we be sure that the Ontario government won't try the same kind of maneuver this time around to actually escape facing a judge on this?
Basically, what Pat did last year was she challenged both the process of the law through appeals and so on, and also the interpretation of the law as it was then. How her first request was interpreted by those administering the FIPPA, and then how it was appealed from there. Now we will challenge the law itself as unconstitutional, seeking to strike it down. There's not going to be the same sort of questions of policy or questions of evidence. It's going to be mainly a constitutional question. Does the FIPPA, as it's written now, with this little clause in there that says that all abortion-related information will be excluded from freedom of information requests, is that subsection unconstitutional? That will be the question, and I don't think the Ontario government will be able to dodge this one this time.
And Pat, this is not just Ontario. There's at least one other province that's potentially affected by this case.
There is another province, BC, that has restrictions on abortion as well. And my understanding is that the BC law says that the government is actually not allowed to release abortion info inside or outside of the Act, with a few exceptions, like statistics and financial information related to the total number of abortions, which they can release. And for those exceptions only, for statistics and financial info, a person has a right to that information. But in Ontario, abortion is excluded from the Act, meaning that the government can still release the information outside of the Act, as they did with my request. So in some ways, the BC law is worse than the Ontario law. Ontario doesn't say that the government cannot release the information. But in other ways, it's better than Ontario. For example, in BC, one still has a right to information on stats and financial data, on total numbers, and a few other things. But no such right exists in Ontario. It's at the complete whim of the government if they so choose to give it to you. And I'd like to make an important point here. I think that it's preferable that information is released through the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, as opposed to being released outside the Act. In Ontario, the government is allowed, at its discretion, to release information that would normally be excluded from FIPPA, like they did when they gave me my 2-page report. But this also means that the government can arbitrarily refuse my information as well. And if they refuse to give it to me, I have no recourse.
Andre, fundamentally, what are we arguing here? I mean, this is a charter case. In your statement at the press conference, you said that freedom of information is protected by the charter's freedom of expression guarantee. Is that kind of a novel legal argument? It's certainly the first time I've heard the charter being used in this context. I don't know of any express link between freedom of expression and freedom of information.
It's a newer argument, but we're definitely not the first group to be making it. In fact, there was a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada in 2010, in which freedom of information was read as something that could be guaranteed by the freedom of expression guarantee in the Charter. That's protected by Charter Section 2B, which includes freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication. That's a direct quote. And so what the court said, the Supreme Court of Canada said in 2010, was that where a claimant can establish that there's a denial of access that effectively precludes meaningful commentary on a particular issue of public importance, then there is an obligation on the government to demonstrate to a court that by banning access to that information, it's required in a free and democratic society. And I think that when we're talking about an absolute ban on all abortion-related information, I don't think they can justify that as being required in a free and democratic society. If they had said any abortion-related information that is personal or private, for example, the names of the abortionists or the names of the women having these abortions, then of course we would say that's totally reasonable for a government to protect the privacy of those individuals. But when they say, we will not even give you the number of dollars that we spent last year on abortion, that's unreasonable, and I don't think they're going to win on that question in the court.
Pat, given that the Ontario government decided to sort of avoid the court case by giving you what you wanted last year, is there a message there? Do you think the government's worried that you've got a good case and that's why they tried to avoid having this go to court?
Yeah, I would say that there is a message here, and that is that we have a strong case. I wouldn't be doing this if I thought we didn't. The government's lawyer actually said to me when we were in court there in October that the information they gave us was not current anymore, the chart. I don't even know what that means. I believe they were just trying to wiggle out of explaining to us why they released the information. And again, since the information wasn't released inside the Act, they don't have to explain anything to me. I think they felt free from being accountable to the taxpayer with this maneuver.
Which brings me to my final question. Andre, what's the timelines on this? When does this go to a hearing? Which court level? That kind of stuff. Is this going to be a long, drawn-out process? I saw one reference in a release to ARPA supporters that this could take 3 or 4 years to settle. You think this will ultimately end up before the Supreme Court?
The notice of application has been filed with the Superior Court of Ontario. We're going to be doing this case in Ottawa. There's going to be a period of time where the government of Ontario gets to respond. If required, there will be a trial that's set that could take anywhere from 3 or 6 months to a year, maybe even more. The trial shouldn't be too long just because it's only legal arguments. We're not going to have to introduce lots and lots of evidence like some other trials need. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it got appealed to the Ontario Court of Appeal. But because there is a lot of other case law out there that's gone to the Supreme Court on this, again, because there's that relatively recent case from 2010 that we are relying on, I don't think it will necessarily go to the Supreme Court. But if it does, then yeah, we're looking at a legal battle that could take, 5 years on the longer end of the scale. We're in it for the long haul, I think, if required. I mean, we're going to have to reevaluate at every stage of appeal. But I think if it's required, we will appeal all the way.
Thank you both. We're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
We'll be following this for, the next few years, I guess.
Sounds good.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production Manager Brian Grimm. Technical Director Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpaccanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.